Thanks so much, Hussein Mishrad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with Kira Yusri, co-founder of Undi 18. Kira, you know, you had the conversation with Kavita a bit earlier, and I'm wondering what you think a youth-led party, a youth-first party, youth-focused party, whatever you want to call it, what would that look like?
I think it would be something very new in the political scene that we have here. But I thought it was very interesting that Kavita pointed out one of the challenges that they face, because I feel that one of the challenges that many people my age don't consider when it comes to running your own thing is the financial issues, right? I think I read somewhere that, you know, to win an election, an MPC is about, to win, yeah, it's about 2 million ringgit, right? And that's taken into not even, you know, when young people want to contest, you know, you have to put down a deposit of 10,000. For Adunsi, it's 5,000. All of these numbers and figures are not, you know, you can't just use passion to finance your election campaign. Yeah. And I think I'd be very curious to see, you know, how they're able to garner, you know, youth support.
Financial
and support and financial. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at America, people like AOC has successfully funded, you know, raise money through her community to fund her elections. I wonder if that's something that YB Sadiq is considering when it comes to
like
this party.
Crowdfunding. I do think that this other issue, of course, is, and they might be in the Malaysian context, any number of interested parties might come and say, well, let's put down some money. We'll come back. You know, there are, I don't know, any number of developers that will back a number of horses in a single race. But I wonder if young people are aware that the more they get entangled in the reality of politics, the more they're going to have to make compromises, the more, like everybody else does. You know, wanting to keep that image of enduring purity, is that something that they can actually hold on to when they become embroiled in the reality of democratic electoral politics?
I think that will go into their political awakening. I think, you know, even someone who works in political advocacy, right, I'm not even in the middle of fighting it out with the rest of them. And you can already see how sometimes you have to give and take on certain things when it comes to public issues, national issues, because you need to constantly think about what is the bigger goal that you want to hit, what is the bigger issue at hand here. I think when young people go into politics, we need to remember that it's not just about representation purely. It's more than that. Yeah.
I think also, you know, what was interesting to me in reading the headlines was also the word multi-ethnic, right? So it wasn't just youth-led, it was also multicultural, multi-ethnic. Yeah. And I'm wondering whether a multiracial party, which, you know, which focuses on values that youth say they champion, inclusivity, diversity and all that, would that appeal to a majority of youth? Because youth, they're not monolithic.
Correct.
There's multifaceted.
Yeah. I think it would... Personally, I think it would jive very well with youth in the urban areas because we're quite used to having being exposed to multiracial communities even in schools and universities and all that. But I'm not sure if this would this same concept would apply to maybe constituencies outside like urban or semi-urban areas. So it'd be very interesting to see if his new party will contest in which area. Right, because even I think his own area is considered a semi-urban area, right, where it's a little bit mix of both. Will he be able to, you know, run a grassroots campaign? You know, because you know, elections all about machinery, and political parties have been doing it for many years. So would a new party be able to top that?
Right, and you know, we take this away from the question of Syed Saddiq, his personality, his former associations with Bersatu, and now his decision to distance himself from Pejuang. You know, the question of anybody or any group of young people setting up a youth party. And what would the structure of it be? Because there seems to be a nuance here between a youth party, they mean a party of young people, and a youth-led party, which means a party that tries to attract as broad a base as possible, which you would need to win an election, right?
Yeah.
And so what for you, where is it for? What exactly is that nuance and why would one work better than the other?
I think the second option is a lot more feasible, considering the context that we are in Malaysia, because you know, you're not going to have a voter base where the constituency is 100% young people. That's just purely impossible. So I think it's wise to have a youth-led party, because then you can show that young people actually have what it takes to lead political parties, which currently in existing political parties, you are just confined to youth wings, similar to other marginalized, like women, you're just confined to women wings, right? When I hope that, you know, if this launches, then you can see it can reinvigorate but other political parties to consider whether these wings are still needed.
That comes to a very important point. Yeah. Have traditional parties failed to allow young people to lead? And we look at some of the young leaders around the world, like Jacinda Ardern, came through a traditional party. She came to the Labour Party. Yeah. Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau, I believe they came through the traditional parties where young people and succession allowed for that renewal. What is not happening in our political parties today?
I think it's the political culture here where, well, first of all, we have a very high retirement age, right? So I guess...
or no retirement age.
Especially in politics where there's no retirement age, right? So I think that makes it very difficult for young people to be given the opportunities. Political parties need to consider, when you have a youth wing, that's perfectly fine to me, but what are you actually doing to build up the young people within your party? Are they in our mentoring programs? Do you, expose the young people in your party beyond just... doing the press statements or bringing them to meetings? Are they actually doing something where they can build the capacity to become political leaders, which would help them win elections later?
I'm also wondering on that same vein whether, creating a political party is inevitable, coming out from, the push for more political engagement, lowering the voting age.
Yeah.
Is it inevitable that there is a youth-led political party?
That's a very interesting question. I think actually, we wouldn't have that if we didn't have young representative in the first place. So, I mean, having someone like Syed Saddiq who became an MP and then a minister, I think that sparked a lot of ideas with young people. And then, and then lowering the voting age, suddenly everything seems possible. And sometimes for people our age, it's like, even if you fail, right, what is there to lose right now?
Yeah. Do you agree, Kira, with what we heard Kavita say about, when I asked her, how would a young, a youth-led party avoid the pitfalls of the traditional political parties? Like Sharad said, the enduring purity. Do you agree with that the passion will save them, the idealism will save them?
I think as someone who has worked in this field for almost 4 years now, I think passion alone is not sustainable. So I agree, yes and no. Passion is great to fuel the work that you want to do, but it alone is not sustainable. You still need to consider, again, the bigger picture. What do you actually want to achieve? When you start a new party, do you want to belong to a coalition that represents your values? Do you want to, what kind of voice do you want to represent in parliament? If just having one or two voices, is that actually enough to turn the tide? Maybe in this government, it's enough to turn the tide. But, realistically, we look over the years, is that enough? So I think these are the questions that we need to consider when it comes to starting a movement or a party.
I wonder very quickly if you could speak to the fact that we've had young leaders who have they're great demagogues, they say all the right things, and then when they get positions, they're in power, they do very different things and often very self-serving things. What is in the structure of our politics, do you think, that allows politicians not to be accountable to the very base that put them in power?
So I think in a democracy, you're also allowed to change sides or change your principles and things like that. But I think what we lack here in Malaysia is the lack of a mechanism for the people to hold the politicians accountable. So could we launch a petition to have a recall election? For example, if we decide that there's enough people in this area that don't like my MP, can I gather enough signatures and then let's run a PRK? Right. I don't think that has happened in Malaysia, but that would be something interesting, right? Then this way, politicians can be reminded that, you can't just do go back on the promises that you've made to your people. Because at this point, promises and manifestos probably don't hold as much weight anymore because of what happened recently. Right. So I think for Malaysians, for the average citizens like us, what do we have to hold on to?
So how to hold politicians accountable. Kira, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
having
me.
What a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. Now I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching. Consider this. Good night, folks.